In case you were wondering, that was what a bass boy sounds like. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It is so good to be here this morning. And today's message on this wonderful Mother's Day Sunday is gifted preparing your child. Now, our passage is from Proverbs chapter 1. Verses 7 through 9, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. But we will be bouncing around in Proverbs this morning, so keep your Bibles open on your laps. But we will begin with Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. All over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, please hold up the Word of God. Please hold your Bibles up. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that. And turn in them to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. You know, as we sit here this morning and we are going through our service, you know, sometimes we forget that right down the hall is our Spanish ministry, Living Hope Baptist Church, a church of two languages, not two ministries, receiving the very same message this morning. I know that you're probably looking with some dismay at the fact that I have 7 points there today instead of my normal three. I promise you we will get out of here in regular time today. You know, we love the Word of God, amen? Amen? We believe the Word of God from the first page to the last page. And we believe that the Bible is all about Him. It is a hymn book, amen? Amen? And what is the name of the person that the hymn is? Who is it all about?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that every verse from the front of the Bible to the end of the Bible, if you are reading the Scriptures and you don't see Jesus Christ standing somewhere there in the shadows, you are not reading your Bibles properly. You know, He said to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Scripture says that He taught of Himself and all the Scriptures. In other words, He didn't go to the Scriptures and find the parts that were about Him, but He taught about Himself and all the Scriptures. If you are open to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, please say, Amen.
Amen.
Reading from the Word of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks today for Your word. We give You thanks for the opportunity to worship here in safety and comfort. Lord, we know that is not so throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Moms are special people.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time just in case. I'm trying to get my mom points on the board here. Moms are special people with amazing hearts, amazing patience, and amazing resourcefulness. Moms are the only people I know that can take a slice of bologna and some bread and make a feast out of it if they have to. Moms are the only people I know that can take rice for 20 days straight when you don't have any money and turn that into something different every single day. But moms also deal with their children. And that's where the patience part comes in. I'm reminded of the story about the mom that was asked how she gets her teenage son out of bed in the morning. And all the mothers say, Amen. So how do you get your teenage son out of bed in the morning? She said, simple. I put the cat in the bed with him. And they said, well, how does that help? She said, the dog is already there. Hallelujah. I don't understand those types of things. Having been a model child myself growing up, I can't imagine having been any kind of a trial. I do remember one time when I was a teenager, my brother and I had a job, and I went and bought a Polaroid camera. You guys remember Polaroid cameras, amen? You take the picture and pull it out and wait for the picture to appear. So we decided to have some fun with it. We were at home in my brother and my bedroom. And my mother called us out to do something, a chore or something. And when she called for us, we said, no, shouting at her through the house. And she said, boys, I said to get in here. I said, no, we're not coming. She goes, I need you to get something out of the garage. Do it yourself. And when she came through that door, I took her picture with the Polaroid camera. She tried her best not to laugh, But Miss Alice Brewster, and good morning, Mom. I know that you're watching. Miss Alice Brewster, you know, at her tallest in her life, she reached my armpit. And right now she's at 88 years old. She's going south of that. But Miss Alice walked, moseyed right up to my 6 feet, 200 pounds, snatched that Polaroid out of my hands, destroyed the film, almost destroyed the camera, and handed it back to me and said, have fun with your camera. But, you know, listen, guys, this is Mother's Day, and mothers are special. But raising children is a team job. And I'm going to talk to moms today, but not only moms. I'm not going to forget about the dads, because raising godly children, raising gifted children, is about both parents. I believe with all of my heart that the premier problem in America today, besides the lack of God and Christ in people's lives, is the disintegration of the family where there is a godly father and a godly mother in that family. Amen? And I know that all of us think our children are gifted. I think we would all agree that our child is gifted at something. Amen? There's something that they're very good at. But would you like to have a truly gifted child? Would you like to have a child that's blessed of God? Of course we do. You see, it's a doable thing. You just need to make the gifts for them if you want your child to be gifted. And today we're going to discover 7 gifts that you can give to your children. I know you've been eyeing all the points on your notes, but this will go quickly. So what's the first gift that we can give our child? Well, first, give them an example. Give them example. Write that down in your notes. Now look at how verse 7 starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen, friends. If your child does not respect the Lord, there are repercussions from that. And what are the repercussions? Well, if your child doesn't respect the Lord, then the second part of verse 7 kicks in. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I was in a meeting recently in business, and one of the people there said, "I understand that you believe the Bible is how this so-called God communicates with the world." And I said, "Yes, I do believe that, absolutely." He goes, "Well, I don't believe that there's a God, and therefore there's nothing in that Bible that is for me." I said, "Well, of course there is." He goes, "Well, how can that be?" I says, "Well, Psalm 14:1, please go look that up if you get a chance." Well, he looked it up during the meeting. He was not amused. It says, because Psalm 14:1, you may understand, reads, "The fool in his heart has said there is no God." You know, and I said that with grace in my heart. But sometimes we simply need to let people know that there is a God. So how do you avoid your child becoming a fool? You have to give them an example. If you look on the screen right now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, reads this way. The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Look at that word integrity. I want to share something with everyone here in this sanctuary this morning, or watching on the internet, or listening to the radio, or however you're receiving this message. I want to talk to you about integrity for just a second, and this is so simple. I want you to understand that if you have integrity in your life, nothing else matters. But if you do not have integrity in your life, nothing else matters. And all God's people said, you must live a life of integrity. Your children will learn more from how you live than by what you say about living. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. I'm going to say that one more time. Your child will learn more, amen, from how you live than by what you say about living. So give to them a godly example. Live a life of integrity. And don't try to pretend perfection. Don't try to pretend godly perfection either, amen? Listen, you know you're not perfect. And if you're married and you think you're perfect, just ask the person sitting next to you. Because we are not perfect. And big news here, big news announcement, your children know that you're not perfect as well. Amen? What they want is for you to be real. What your child wants is for you to be genuine. You see, they already know that we mess up. They've seen it in full living color. What they're looking for and what they're watching for is to see how we handle it. How do we handle things when we mess up? They're watching to see if we take ownership, if we admit our failures before God, if we admit our failures before them, or do we try to cover things up, hide our mistakes, hide our sins? What your child needs is a father. What your child needs is a mother that shows him God's love by being the best biblical example that they can be in that child's life. Amen? So first we see that give them an example. Second, give them unconditional love. Give them unconditional love. This is for moms, but it's especially for dads. Listen to me, friends. Just saying that you love your child is not enough. It is not. You have to demonstrate that you love them. You have to do that. And I'm not just talking about giving them a bunch of stuff either. Amen? As a matter of fact, I think in today's world there's entirely too much of that, giving them more stuff. I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up, the stuff that I had to play with was a stick. That was my rifle when I was playing soldiers. That was my spear when I was playing cowboys and Indians. That was my whip when I was playing dad. Did anybody here have to go get their own whip when they were growing up? Amen. Hallelujah. The rest of you fibbers, keep your hands down. All right. So listen, guys. True love is giving your child what they need. And what they need is to know that you love them. That's what a child needs. Your child is going to mess up. It's going to happen. If they're small right now, their misdeeds will probably be small, but correct them. But the teenage years are coming. Miss Ruth Ann and I found that when the children were toddlers and young children, that mommy and daddy were the smartest people on the planet. And then by the time they started getting toward middle school, we became less intelligent. By the time they were teenagers, we knew nothing. By the time they were graduating from school, getting ready to go to college, they were ready to pull the plug on us. Then they got married. They had some bills. They had their own children. You ever sit there and watch your child chasing their children around? Is that not like the best thing in the world? And all of a sudden, we became smarter. And now that my daughter is in her mid-40s, we are brilliant. Once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, guys. Children, teenagers especially, are going to make huge mistakes that need loving, godly correction. But are you ready for this nugget? Everybody look up here, Living Hope Church. Everybody look up here. Are you ready for this nugget today? That child has to know. They must understand beyond any shadow of a doubt. I messed up bad. And my mother and father will not accept what I did. But they still accept me. The child has to know that. You see, a child can accept discipline and correction. But their hearts will be crushed if they ever feel like they personally have been rejected. Don't reject your child. A child's broken heart it takes years to heal. Let me say this much. It is much easier for your child to believe in a God of unconditional love if they have parents that love them unconditionally. It's much easier for them to believe in that, even when they mess up. Notice, I am not saying that we are to accept bad behavior. Bad behavior is not acceptable. Amen? Apply correction when needed. At work one time, there was a lady there that did not believe in corporal punishment, what we call whippings. And she asked me, she goes, "You're a pastor and you're a man of grace, supposedly, and love. Don't you hate it when people beat children?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about." She goes, "Well, some people call it spanking." I said, when they do wrong, I believe in spanking them till the smoke alarm goes off. And do it when they're younger so you don't have to do it when they're older. You see, our children received firm correction from mostly their mother. She was the long arm of the law. There would be times when they were young children, when they were misbehaving, and she would rise up and grab her wooden spoon, a wooden fork that she had in the kitchen, and she would say and declare, "I have had enough," and she would wield it like a samurai sword. And my job was to keep all the gladiators in the arena and not let them escape. But you know what, guys? Apply correction as needed. And see if you can find some humor in the things that they've done, because I'm sure you've done it yourself before, amen? We usually whip for what we have already done in our lives. But they deserve their parents' love. And how do they do that? Well, listen, guys. Give them constant encouragement. Be an encouraging parent. Turn over to chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. Turn over in your Word of God, chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say, amen. Chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, for they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. Now, doesn't that sound like encouragement to you? Encouraging a child to do the right things? Now look at verses 24 to 26. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Here's the best part of encouragement. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen? Listen, friends. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote Proverbs, and the Lord guided his hand and heart to be an encouragement to his child. Encourage that child. I can't tell you how many times when I was a children's pastor and student pastor in this church, and I'll be back there with Miss Latima and Miss Heather. God bless you guys. I'm so glad you can be in service this morning. And we see it all the time when we have visiting children, and they do something. And then you tell that child, "Oh, that's great. You did a great job." And to see that child's eyes and face light up. And you know, that might be the first time they've heard a word of encouragement in a long time. Amen? Encourage these children. Listen, we bless our children with encouragement. When you regularly encourage a child, then you are then giving that child confidence in their lives. And when you give a child confidence in the Lord because you follow the Lord, what you're really doing is blessing that child. You bless that child. I'm here to tell you that your child needs a blessing from his earthly mother and father just as well as his heavenly father. And that blessing that they receive is your encouragement. Moms, encourage your child. Now listen, this is mostly moms that do all the encouragement. All right? Dads, we need to do that as well. It can't just be mom being the encouragement side of your child's life. Children need encouragement like a plant needs water. So may I suggest this? Moms, dads, if you're watching on the internet, stop trying to catch your child from doing something wrong. Instead, do your best to catch them doing something right. And encourage them when you see that. Hallelujah. Give them positive rather than negative talks. And I'm not talking about just praising them either. Kids catch on to that. But let me explain what I mean. Praising a child when they get an A is okay. That's a good thing. When they get good grades in school. But what are we really saying to that child when they think about it in their hearts? I'm really proud of you because of what you did. I'm really proud of you because of what you do. But suppose they didn't get the A. Suppose they worked really, really hard and they got a C. In that case, encouragement says, when you encourage your child, you say, "I am so proud that you did your best." And when you do that, that tells a child, "I'm not just proud of you. I don't just love you for what you do. I love you. I'm grateful for you because of who you are. You are a blessing from God that God has placed in my life. And I love having you there. Amen? Yes. Encouragement says, I'm grateful for you. Not necessarily because of what you achieve, but because of who you are. So not only give them an example, not only give them unconditional love, but give them constant encouragement as well. Give them constant encouragement. That's our third point today. Oh, wait a minute. That is not. I just did that. Give them wise instruction. My mistake. Thank you. Thank you so much for not going back to that point, Brother Dennis. Give them wise instruction. Now listen to me, friends. This is so important. I'm going to give you the same advice that a pastor gave me. Don't get your wisdom from the world. Get your wisdom from here. Now listen to me, if you're sitting here in this sanctuary, if you're watching on the internet, and you don't know the Lord Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't glorify God, it's going to be terribly difficult to be an encouragement, to be these things to your child. Listen to me closely. We're not trying to trick anyone here. We're not trying to use sleight of hand. We want you to know that if you have come here today, if you're watching on the internet, and you do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, we're not trying to trick you, we're not trying to trip you up, but every single Christian in this sanctuary is praying for you right this moment that if you came here without the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, that you will not go home the same way. Pastor Larry, does it have to be Jesus? Yes. Why does it have to be Jesus? Because God said so, and because Jesus said so. Jesus was asked one time by doubting Thomas, well, how do we know the way to go? Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does he say next? Oh, you guys have heard Pastor Larry say this before. As a matter of fact, if you attend Living Hope Baptist Church or you watch on the internet, you know that we quote John 14:6 every single week. So give them wise instruction. Look back at Proverbs chapter 2. Flipping your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would, verses 1 through 7. If you're there, say amen. This chapter is titled, The Value of Wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then... In other words, if you do these other things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. And all of God's people said, Amen. You know, the corresponding passage for that is Proverbs, write this down in your margin, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So give them wise instruction. Amen? Okay now, wise instruction requires training. Well, Pastor, how do I train them in wise instruction? That training is to be in the Lord, and it happens during your daily family devotions. Wait a minute, Pastor Larry. What are you talking about here? What do you mean, Pastor? I mean just that. Daily devotions with your family, reading the Word of God. Line upon line. Precept by precept. Why? Because Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. Listen to me, moms and dads. Your child's primary educational institution is your home. It's your home. The government is not responsible for raising your child. If the school system isn't cutting it, roll up your sleeves, dig in, and help your child. Amen? Amen? Jump in and make sure that they are studying. Well, Pastor, I can't get them off the phone. I can't get them off the TV. I can't get them off the video games. Yes, you can. There is a parent in this house. Hallelujah. Listen, here's what I know. I know a pastor friend of mine that he had three teenagers at the same time. And they all had cell phones. And so one night he was having trouble getting in touch with them to find out where they were and to make sure that they were getting home on time. And so he called the phone company, had a little thing, a little app on his phone, and he turned off their phones. Turned them off. He had been trying to call them for an hour. He had texted them. Well, within 3 minutes, he got a call. Dad, something's wrong with our phone. Really? He said, I need you guys to get on home now. Thank you for calling. So he came home and he said, listen, you have a phone for one reason. It's so I can get in touch with you. Amen? I remember a few years back, Miss Ruth Ann and I, we went out to dinner one evening, and this one time we both left our phones at home. And apparently my daughter was trying to get a hold of us. And by the time we got home, we both had like 7 missed calls and 3 voicemails. So we called, and Miss Ruth Ann called my daughter, Angela, that sweet child that visits and sits right over here. And Angela goes, where have you two been? I told Miss Ruth Ann, this is great. We got to do this more often. And all the parents said, amen. Amen. Listen, friends, you are their parent, not their friend. You are their parent, not their friend. And it is the Lord of the heavens and earth that has given this precious child to you for your safekeeping so that you can bring them up in the ways of the Lord. But how do we take control when that is needed? How do we do that? Brings us to our fifth point today. Give them reasonable restrictions. Reasonable restrictions. Oh, this is so good. Flip over in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. I told you need your Bibles today. Normally, I pick a passage and we stay right there. Amen. Today, the Lord just really spoke to my heart. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Reading 20 to 23. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And all God's people said. Now I'm going to give you an amazing secret. You may not have ever heard this before. But this comes from having been a parent for many, many years. Miss Ruth Ann and I have been married almost going on 47 years. We've been grandparents. We are now great-grandparents, and that's a wonderful thing. Our great-grandchild, of course, does no wrong. But here's the nugget. Here's something you may not have ever heard before. Children need boundaries. Children need boundaries, reasonable restrictions, and they need to know what those boundaries are. Why? Because they make the child feel safe. Well, Pastor, how do the boundaries make the child feel safe? If you give your children boundaries, and then you give in and let them cross the boundaries, what does that child really think? Well, that child is thinking, were you really trying to protect me with this rule? Or were you just being mean? Was this for my safety or just to keep me tied down at home? Were you really trying to protect me? In other words, if my mom and dad's boundaries move, will their love also bend or move? Will it? If their boundaries of what's supposed to protect me moves, does my mom really love me that much? Let me give you an example of restriction. When my son was a teenager, teenage boys, lordy, lordy, lordy. The only thing that gets me other than that is teenage girls. Lordy, 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 lordy. When my son was a teenager, he smart-mouthed his mother one time. Wised off to her. And so I told him, when you did that, you dishonored your mother and you sinned against God. So you need to get that right, get right with God. But also, when you did that, you sinned against your mother. And you're going to have to get right with her. But I said, listen to me, boy. Let me make something perfectly clear. She's not only your mother, she's my wife. And if you ever do that again, you're going to have to deal with me. to this day, and he's 44, he's never done that again. Give your children reasonable restrictions. And don't bend from them. Be firm. Number six, give them a listening ear. Give them a listening ear. Proverbs 18, verses 13 through 15 reads this way. He who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The heart of the prudent requires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. What the Lord is saying is that you have to be willing to listen to your child when they talk. Let me ask you this. When you go before the Father, when you go and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, do they listen? Do you ever feel like you can't go before the Lord? Now, we all feel sometimes ashamed before the Lord. Amen? If you ever felt ashamed to go before the Lord, raise your hand. And repentance will deal with the rest of you fibbers later on. All right, we've all been at those points, friends. But what the Lord is saying, you have to be willing to listen to your child when they talk. When your child is saying something. When she was growing up, my daughter was that rare combination of a type A personality. She got that from me. And an absolutely firmness of will. She got that from her mother. It made for some interesting times, but my daughter would be quiet for a moment when she was instructed to do so. My son, however, had a gene in him that came from somewhere. I don't know where it came from, being a quiet person myself, that if he needed to say something, it had to come out. And we had a decision to make. Okay? In other words, he wasn't disrespectful when he needed to say something. He never was disrespectful when he did that. He wasn't mean-spirited. But if he had something to say, we had a decision to make. We could either beat our son or listen to what he had to say and then counsel him on what his commentary was. It's simply the way that Travis was. Once he had spoken, we would address it. So listen to him. But now listen, guys. How many people have more than one child? Raise your hands. Are those children different? Oh yeah, we got two hands and people standing in the back. All right, those children are different. Never be too busy to listen to your child and their personalities. Each child has different desires, different needs. Children are different, especially teenagers. Those can be the most difficult years of all. Finally, our final point today, and everybody say amen. Amen. Give them happy environment. Give them a happy environment. One last time in your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 through 17. In your paper Bibles, if you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13 to 17, reading from the Word of God. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. What is that saying? Look at verse 17 one more time. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Here's what that means. A vegetable plate is better than a filet mignon dinner if there's love at that table. If there's love at that table, vegetables are better than filet mignon. If you have joy and love and happiness, a home should be filled with laughter. A home should be filled with love. It should be a place of fun. And the way that we raise children is to be firm, be fair, but finally, be fun. You know, sometimes I think that Christians think that they're supposed to be, you know, some kind of big, calm down, holy person. Christians are supposed to have fun. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
We are to rejoice in the Lord. We have the ultimate secret that God is good. He is so good that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It is no secret, friends. Amen? We talked about it last week. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. There's no greater blessing than a joy-filled child, and I have to wrap this up. But there's nothing worse than a child with a broken heart. Nothing worse than a child with a broken heart. Nothing worse than a child with a broken spirit. But you can have a gifted child if you lead them and live lives adhering to these seven rules. You may be saying, Pastor, Preacher, I have regrets. I want to be that kind of a father. I want to be that kind of a mother. But how can I do all of that? Friends, the only way to build a great home is by receiving the greatest home builder the world has ever seen. And His name is Jesus of Nazareth. There's no other way to raise a gifted child. Jesus is the greatest home builder. Satan is the greatest home wrecker. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, after God made all the stuff, the very next thing that He made was marriage. And what was the first thing that Satan attacked? That marriage. That couple. God wants you to have a wonderful family home. Now, there may be somebody here today that grew up without God in the house. What I've been saying to you has been a little strange. You've never had a family. You've never had parents that cared for you. Would you look around the sanctuary, please? Even my saved folks, look around the sanctuary right now. Look around there. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, receive Him today, and we'll be your family. Living Hope Church is one of the lovingest families I've ever seen in my life. If you're visiting today, I'm sure you got hugged 15 or 20 times. It might have freaked you out a little bit. That's okay. Let us be your family. Receive Jesus Christ today and join the family of God. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I thank you so much for being so grace-filled today and so patient as we were preaching. We come to that part of the sermon now where I'm going to ask for you to look at your own hearts. If you're sitting here in the sanctuary and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, if you're watching on the internet, you've never received Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.